Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me, as always, is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I am okay in light of recent reality TV events, but I'm good. I am in Chicago, and Ethan Swanson is, like, hanging out of my window currently.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because that's what he does. So, yeah, coming to you live from the Midwest Muscle headquarters.
Yes, we are here to talk about Ninja versus Ninja, episode 2. And I'm very excited to be talking about this episode because just to spoil my conclusion thoughts about this episode, I really enjoyed it and I'm really enjoying this show. And I'm very happy that we're talking about it.
Yeah, you're not sad that you're... least favorite ninja, Chris DeGangi, is moving on?
Look, I was definitely rooting against Chris DeGangi.
You're like, is there a way that Jesse can go through but not him?
Carson is a robbed goddess.
But I'm sure he gets that a lot.
Yes. Let's get going on this episode. Again, they didn't do a full run through of the course, but you know what? Whatever. This is a speed. The pace of the show is a lot faster, so I've come to appreciate that that's what they're going to do. They told us the important ones, and for any of the other ones, I'm just going to call them what they look like, and we're going to move on from there. So we got the new obstacles here, the pole grasper and the spin cycle. Both obstacles really heavily favored people with a long wingspan, and that's unfortunate for Tyler Yamauchi, as we'll discuss later.
Yeah, but it's so funny that they had the smallest guy and the tallest guy do the same course.
How did they not have Tyler race against John Alexis Jr.?
I know.
How did that not happen? That is a huge misstep.
Yeah, well, I don't think that the show can determine the order. You think you want one of the teams to just be like, this would be funny, like, even if it's not in our best interest?
Well, you know, certainly if the show set it up for them, they would take the swing. I mean, if that opportunity is presented to me, there's no way I'm letting it pass.
But oh, I see what you mean. The show should have had Midwest Muscle play the Le Breakfast Club. Well, maybe they thought Midwest Muscle was going to win and it would be like a thrilling conclusion between Tyler and John.
You cannot take that risk. You need to get them on the course together.
Okay, got it. Did you notice that this intro package spoiled that the Le Breakfast Club was going to win?
No, I did not.
There was like, you know, welcome back to Ninja versus Ninja. This season is going to have all those most amazing matchups. And it's like, you know, blah, blah, blah versus blah, blah, blah. Like, they did like two guys that have already played each other. And then it was like Martin versus LeBrec. And it's like, well, okay. So clearly Le Breakfast Club is going to go against Team Ronan at some point.
I've never been more glad that I was rushing through this episode and did not pay attention.
Yeah.
Because this was a thrilling episode that I'm glad wasn't spoiled. Not that I ever expected Le Breakfast Club to lose, to be honest.
Yeah.
That said, let's get into the races here. We start off with Team Dark Horse versus Team Midwest Muscle. And right off the bat, how are we going to rank them on their team names?
I like Midwest Muscle better because Dark Horse, I think, would make more sense if it was three people that, like, we've never heard of. But Lance Pecus is, like, one of the biggest stars of the show. So I feel like you can't say that, like, his team is a dark horse.
I mean, to be fair, like, Lance Pecus, he's like a wildlife guy. I'm sure he rides horses. Team Dark Horse, it probably makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Midwest Muscle better. It makes more sense.
I appreciate the alliteration of Midwest Muscle, but I still do not care for the team name, which is like where you're from, like Midwest, West Coast, East Coast. Well, I don't care. That doesn't mean anything to me.
I think you're just Midwest phobic. So I'm here to support my region.
I literally just said East Coast. If somebody said the East Coast Eagles or something, whatever.
They have the Beast from the East.
There you go. Beast from the East. I don't need East in that sentence.
I don't think you criticized that team, though.
Well, that's because they started with Beasts. And it's also like, you know, James McGrath is on there.
Okay. Well, whatever. I like Midwest Muscle.
All right. Well, I take Dark Horse over Muscle.
Especially because Tyler Yamauchi's thing is that he's the muscle ball. It's like true. It incorporates his nickname.
Yeah, but that's what I said. Horse, Lance?
Oh my God.
Beast? The Beast?
Dark Horse is not close enough to anything that any of them are known for.
I feel like every package with Lance Pecus has made me at least think about a horse.
Even this one?
Yeah, he was talking about wolves and
that's not
riding
a horse
through the countryside. That makes me think of horses.
Okay, well, we're skipping ahead, but I will say Lance Pecus has the same job that Ron Swanson has at the end of Parks and Rec,
yeah.
And which like I have never seen a real person have. So good for him. I've always thought of Lance as a real Ron Swanson.
There you go. Well, we start off the matchup with Carson Voiles versus Ethan Swanson. Carson's package is about, I don't know what condition he has, but he can only eat egg whites and that's just all he eats all the time.
They don't explain this literally at all. They're just like, after I had kids, I couldn't eat food, but for just like no reason. I don't understand. But then he found out that he can only eat egg whites.
Well, I could relate to him as somebody that usually eats not a lot of things.
You only eat egg whites?
Well, I do. I have eaten egg whites before. I just feel like this is similar to my plain yogurt thing where, you know, I would say, oh yeah, I eat plain yogurt. And then people, what? That's crazy. And he's like, oh, I eat egg whites. And people, what? That's crazy. We need to include that in your package. It's like, well, people eat what they want.
Both of those foods are gross. Moving on.
We also have Ethan Swanson, who is the daredevil who gets lots and lots of YouTube views, just like nobody else that's ever competed on Ninja versus Ninja.
He should have been on the hashtag ninjas. Is that what they're called? Yeah. Ethan Swanson has had the same package four times.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever had a non. I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with just like a quick reminder of. This is who this guy is. You know him already. And if you don't, then you don't need to know him very much because he's going to be on your screen for like a total of 2 minutes. I enjoy it. I like the speediness. We're just reminded Ethan Swanson, Daredevil, YouTube views, go. And look at Ethan Swanson fly. He is a swan, says Akbar.
Yeah, that's his thing with the wings. Also, Carson said that any ninja who questions my abilities is going to end up with egg on their face.
Ooh.
Which it's a good thing he won after saying something that stupid.
Yes, Voiles speeds ahead at the pole grasper by making a big leap ahead of Ethan. And the pole grasper tends to be where the difference is made on this course. And that's what wins it for Carson against Ethan.
Akbar or Matt calls it a carsonic boom.
Ooh, it's pretty good, Matt. Pretty good. Next up was Tammy McClure versus Kirsty the Machine Pratt. And this is the wine. Is it the wine warrior or the wine ninja?
The shirt that I have says American Ninja Wine Warrior. So I think just like wine warrior.
There you go. Well,
it's fine.
Tammy is the wine warrior that sent Lita a shirt. So
and
Lita is not allowed to comment
Taryn.
Because she's biased.
Tammy and I are best friends.
And Kirsty is the one that got married and did like obstacles in her wedding dress and did very well last year in the American Ninja Warrior proper.
She's the machine.
Yes. Akbar says, I'm going with the machine on this one.
I forgot that Kirsty beat Jesse Graff last year, and this was also the first time that I like took note of the fact that Jesse is not competing. Because like I feel like just in my mind, Jesse has never done this kind of thing. Which like I know she's always done Team Ninja Warrior, but she never like really. It's not really her sport as much. And also like she's just such a huge star. I don't associate her with these spinoffs. But she's not competing this year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I guess they would have been advertising if
right.
she hadn't, if she or she yeah. was. yes, well, yes, the machine did race against Jesse last year and managed to beat her. But when she goes up against the Wine Warrior, she also manages to beat Tammy. Tammy goes down at the jumpy net thing and Kirsty finishes her run and goes up the warped wall.
It's actually called the TikTok.
The TikTok.
Yeah, the real fans know that.
Well, if I continue to refer it as the jumping net thing, it's because that's what it's written down as in my notes.
Okay. That's, you know what? That's fair.
Look, they ruined my process. It used to be, all right, they're giving us a rundown of the course. I'm going to write down all the obstacles so I know what they're called. And now all I know is pole, grasper, and spin cycle.
Arch enemy Alex Curry strikes again.
Yes. So Kirsty wins that one. Next up was Lance Pikus versus Tyler Yamauchi. And as we mentioned, Lance is talking about his wildlife job being chased by wolves. This is like the Liam Neeson movie with the wolves.
What Liam Neeson movie?
With the wolves. Google Liam Neeson wolves and you get The Gray.
Okay, no one's ever heard of that movie.
Everyone has heard of The Gray, except for you and the people that tweet at us saying they hadn't heard of it.
You don't even know the name of it.
Look, I forget names of things sometimes, but I remembered Liam Neeson and wolves.
My car's name is Liam Neeson, because it's a Nissan. That's my contribution.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just want to know how Lance's wife is doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, like these are quick little packages. These are not like tear jerkers. So
yeah, this is very much like the fun and casual.
Yes.
Ninja Warrior.
And I very much enjoy it. Tyler Yamauchi has also, wasn't the last time we checked in with Tyler, he was like a stay at home dad kind of thing. I feel
like he's still kind of that.
You're right. But now he's got this physical therapy place. He's running this ninja gym. He's doing it all.
Yeah, this was so adorable. I couldn't even stand it.
Yeah.
He's so cute. I want to know what his wife does.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, listen, include more of these people's wives, because I someday want to be married to an American Ninja Warrior.
I thought it was very strange that in Tyler's package, he mentioned that the one obstacle he was concerned about was the warped wall, but he's trained a lot, and so he thinks that he's got it handled, and we never saw him even go up or take on the warped wall in any way.
He went up it after someone had already hit the buzzer. He, like, did it. So it didn't matter. But he did go up it.
It just didn't come back to play into any kind of relevance.
Maybe they're just like, you're small, can you do the warped wall? Which we've seen him do many times before.
So Tyler takes on Lance, and like I said, Lance just has a huge reach advantage on the pole grasper, and then the spin cycle as well is also about reach often. And Tyler, this is just not a good course for Tyler.
No, this is such a bad course to have a 6-inch height difference with someone.
Yeah. Also to have a foot height difference later on.
Well, and Lance isn't even that tall.
I was very surprised because, like, they were, you know, they had the height stats on the thing. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm taller than both of them. That's not what I think of when I think Lance Pikus. Like, he seems like this big guy.
Even though we've seen him in person and we're in a background shot of him, an iconic photo.
He didn't seem short.
No, he didn't. I don't know.
He's just got a tall manner about him.
What is he, 5'7"?
Yeah, 5'7".
Well, he's always on a horse, which makes him a lot taller.
There you go. A dark horse that you can't always see propping him up.
Right. Lance's Invisible Horses is a better name.
Yeah.
It's so dark you can't see it. Okay. Anyway.
So Tyler ends up losing that one. We go to a relay. And again, I feel like these relays, I feel like they could be more strategically placed if they were allowed to. I don't know if they're allowed to mess around with the order, but I believe Lance was asked, like, what order is your team going to run in? And he like it was his decision. So I feel like putting Tyler on the pole grasper. Because that's where he was, right?
Who went? It was Tammy first, and then. Oh, sorry, no, that's for Dark Horse. Never mind. Yeah, I think Tyler was on the pole grasper again.
Yeah, it's like you put Tyler on the obstacles that don't favor him, and I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like they could have really reorganized this to be a little bit more strategic.
Yeah. Does this relay end in the Z thing?
No, this just ends at the warped wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that doesn't really make sense anyway. Also, because Tammy has struggled with the, for Dark Horse, Tammy has struggled with that cargo net.
Exactly. I
don't know.
I figured put Tyler where Tammy was. That's the right.
They're on opposite teams, okay. But I just mean like to your point of like mixing up the order for strategy.
Yes. Put Tyler where Kirsty was, Kirsty where Tyler was. And then you can finish off with Ethan. Here's the one thing.
Put the women in the middle. That's better for both of the teams to put the women in the middle.
Exactly. One of the things about this whole like team aspect of it is that I very much lose focus on the team part of it.
Right.
Unless there's like a very clear bond, like obviously, you know, Chris and Jesse and John, like they're all friends, like either dating or friends. So I know that like
you can be both. You can be dating and friends.
No, I mean that I, to my knowledge, John is not a part of this dating circumstance.
Yeah, to your knowledge,
yes.
You don't know.
I see LeBreck House as a team, but the rest of them, for the most part, I just see as
their name is Le Breakfast Club.
Whatever. Wow, they got me. They got me saying it.
Onchar has infiltrated your brain. I was so wrong last week about them not having individual's name in their team anymore. I forgot about Le Breakfast Club.
For the most part, I just see them as individuals. So like when I see the matchups, I'm just like I don't even recognize what team they're on most of the time.
Yeah, they need to have like more clear uniforms where they're in like entire body suits of one color so that I can remember. Because when it's just like Tammy and Lance are both wearing like black tank tops with like completely different pants, it's hard to remember.
Yes. So this relay goes on. Tammy, this was interesting to me on the swingy jumpy thing with the net.
TikTok. We've been through it.
Tammy ends up falling off onto the mat on the side. I would have figured that was like a disqualification with like a delay, but she manages to just like step right back onto the course and tag in. Ultimately, the Midwest Muscle team still wins it, but that confused me. I don't know what the rules are here for what happens if you fall off the course with in a relay.
I'm just glad that they made the course wider so that if this was last season on Team Ninja Warrior, if she had fallen off, she would have like gotten a concussion and broke both of her legs because that's what kept happening on team last year.
That's very true. So Midwest Muscle wins it and we go to the final tiebreaker relay. And this time, Kirsty does not make the jump to the jumpy net thing and fails to give Team Midwest Muscle the lead that they had previously. This was all it took. Midwest was too far behind to catch up, and Dark Horse wins the match.
Yeah, that's why these relays are so fun, even to watch the exact same thing twice in a row, because Tammy knew her mistake and corrected it, and that made all the difference. And so people can't just win by like one person making a mistake on the other team.
Yeah, very good, very fun. Next up, we have the Le Breakfast Club versus Team Tarzan. It's Le Breck House, Le Breakfast Club, whatever you want to do with it, I'm fine with it. I like this name.
Okay, yeah. Well, sorry, what's the other team? Tarzan? Too predictable.
Yeah, well, Team Tarzan is basically just the nickname of the guy that's on the team.
Ben Milik and friends.
That would be like if James McGrath's team was Team Beast.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is.
Well, no, it's not because they added more.
Okay, so this would have to be like Team Tarzan and friends.
If this was
Jane.
If this was Team Tarzan, you know, from the South, then then, you know, you'd be all for it.
I would love if that was their name and none of them were actually from there.
The team Tropical Tarzan. How about that?
Yeah, from the tropics of America that we have. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I had no idea that I guess they must have covered this. Ben Mulick's been doing this for a long time, and I must have missed it when they originally explained it. But I didn't know that Tarzan came from the fact that he played Tarzan in, like, some stage Disney show.
Yeah, that was the footage they always showed was him, like, on, like, some wires or something. I don't know. Doing some, you know, Tarzan-y stuff.
I thought maybe he was, like, a freelance circus artist or something. That's what those were.
Just likes to pretend that he's Tarzan.
Yeah, well, no, I thought it was just like a character that he devised.
Yeah, you're right. I say that, but that is totally in line with the Ninja
that
Warrior.
Completely happens. Yeah, it's like wrestling.
Well, this first matchup, we have Chris DeGangi versus Travis Wynand. You know who I was rooting for here. Travis Wynand by himself. Love this guy. Never gets his due. He's straight edge.
Yeah, but literally my thought about this person was like, wow, it's crazy that this person has so much in common with me and Taryn, but neither of us would be friends with him.
I would totally be friends with Travis
really?
Wynand. Yeah. What's wrong with Travis Wynand?
He has crazy in his eyes.
I mean, look,
he frightens me.
When he said he's a straight edge vegan heavy metal ninja, I was like, that's all good. But the second he added Viking, that's when I was a little bit thrown off.
He said he's a straight edge vegan Viking yoga metal ninja. And I feel like a lot of that is in line with either you or me. But I feel like he's not someone that either of us would connect with, but you know, I guess I'm wrong.
He's a drummer. He's into the music. He's straight. I feel like I'd get along with Travis.
You guys have matching straight edge chest tattoos, the XXX.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. Wow, I really didn't think you were going to like this guy. I mean, I'm happy for Team Vegan, I guess.
Look, when you don't drink, you really take it where you can get it in terms of people that are similar to you.
See, I would think that about being vegan, too. But this guy, I don't know. There's a scary quality about him.
See, I grew up in the hardcore scene, the metal scene.
These people are
teddy bears.
Not because of that. Listen, I have spent my fair share of time in punk houses, unfortunately. But I just mean like he has eyes that like see through you.
Yeah, they're like they're piercing.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry to go off on Travis like this. I didn't realize we were going to have such a difference of opinion. I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
This is what happens on the Big Brother podcast when Brent starts to like railing against me. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait, when did I hate Travis Wynand? I didn't realize that this happened. Anyway, moving on. We got Chris DeGangi, who we get his package, which is basically, I am Jesse's boyfriend.
I love that, though. I think that's so great when they're just like, this man does not have a personality outside of dating this woman who is better than him.
Yes. And we get all of Travis's Viking stuff. Then we have Chris versus Travis. Chris pulls ahead of Travis at the pole grasper, but Travis manages to catch up at the spin cycle. He's got these huge long arms. Unfortunately, though, stumbles on the landing, which causes Chris to win the matchup.
We're going to get a tweet from Travis that's going to be like, can I come on the show and explain myself like when we insulted Zach Kemmer that one time?
Well, you insulted. I am all on board.
I know.
Well,
now I feel bad if he listens to this. I'm sure he's a lovely person. Go vegan.
Well, next up we had Jessie Lebrecq versus Emmy Rose. Jessie's package was about the fact that she is a big like track star. She's really into, you know, track and field and all that. And she's also undefeated in Ninja versus Ninja so far.
Yeah, but not in a cursed way.
Yes.
Where it's like clear that she's going to be defeated.
Yes. And then Emmy is an adrenaline junkie. And,
our favorite thing.
Yeah. And she's dressed like Tarzan. She's a rookie. You know, I don't think I had any inclination toward thinking that Emmy would win this against Jessie.
I thought her package was confusing because she was talking about how like she's an adrenaline junkie. She's done all these things. She likes spearfishing. Boo. But then she's like, oh, I trained on the Navy SEAL obstacle course. And it's like, how and why are you a Navy SEAL? Like, can you just go and do that?
For as much as I enjoy the abbreviated packages, they're not great for introducing us to people.
Like, what is your connection to the Navy SEALs? How did you get into this obstacle course? Anyway, yeah, I did not think that she was going to win either. And her outfit is crazy.
Yes, Jesse pulls way ahead right away. Akbar throughout the entire thing is saying to Emmy, ain't no time to play. Ain't no time to play. You got to get going.
Yeah, she's on the TikTok forever. Like, literally, Jesse does the entire course and she's still on the TikTok. Because once you lose momentum, you can't really get it back on that thing.
Jesse just completely dominated. From the second they started, there was no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we got John Alexis Jr., the giant, versus
friend of the podcast, yes, John Alexis Jr.
versus Ben Milik. And look, I would just like to take this time to say you're welcome to John for inspiring him to want to work on robots. You know, clearly he interacted with me and he was like, you know what? These things are fascinating and interesting and smart and intelligent and wonderful and kind. And I want to help work on them and help them, you know, take over the world someday. And
I'm pretty sure he was already studying at RIT when we interviewed him.
I mean,
or had already made the plan to go.
I think you're forgetting that I met him long before we interviewed him at Action Athletics in Massachusetts. Right. And that was, I'm sure, the moment of inspiration.
Yeah, that's true. You've had quite a few run-ins with young Alexis Jr.
Yes. So John is in school. He's working on this these robots. He wants to work on robots. And Ben is Tarzan.
I liked John saying that he was 10 years older and a foot taller than all the other students.
Yeah.
It's cute. I like when these ninjas have like cool, impressive jobs or studies or whatever, like in addition to ninja training.
Well, I because, you know, it takes a lot of dedication to be an. So if you have that in your personality, I feel like you are much more likely to have a profession that also requires a lot of dedication.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, you're going to go to school for this like really hard major and then also train for a billion hours a week or whatever. Like, it would be so easy to just not do that.
It's impressive, impressive stuff. And yeah, like I said, Ben is Tarzan. It was very, I don't even remember if there was a package for they just said he's Tarzan.
I don't know. He doesn't need a package.
John also just crushes Ben. No contest here. Team Tarzan just really, except for Travis, who had a very admirable effort, just really drops the ball here, gets completely dominated. Le Breakfast Club sweeps it and they're moving on.
Yeah, that's fun. Obviously was rooting for them.
Yes. Finally, we have the final matchup, Le Breakfast Club versus Dark Horse. And the first run is going to be Carson versus Chris. And oh boy, all of these matchups were very, very fun. The Carson versus Chris, they're going back and forth. Carson speeds past Chris at the pole grasper, but Chris manages to catch up by the time that Carson gets to the salmon ladder, because Carson is starting to run out of energy. This is the full course run this time. So after Carson gets up the warped wall, he's starting to slow down. Chris catches up. They're both at the salmon ladder. Carson is still slowing down, but it's neck and neck. Carson gets through all of the salmon ladder and the roly dice thing and gets to the zigzag climb, but has to stop and take a breath and rest. So Chris catches up yet again. Then Chris ends up getting on the zigzag first, and this is when I finally realized what the zigzag was meant for. It was not meant for these relays where these people are like totally fresh and can just fly up it. It's meant for these people to be exhausted and for people to try to make last second catch up stuff happen. So they're both just struggling up the zigzag climb. They're both there right at the end. Carson gets there first, reaches for the wrong button, and Chris reaches up for the right button, and Chris ends up winning the match.
That's so rough that he just literally got up there first and missed the buzzer. They were so gassed. Oh my God.
Yeah. At first I thought he had like reached for it and just missed because he was so exhausted. But then they explained that no, there was a little like blue light, sort of buttony looking object on the floor that he reached for thinking that was the button to press.
It's like hallucinating. That's so sad.
Yep.
Akbar tells them to ball till they fall on the zigzag climb, which I feel like is a good life motto.
Sure. I don't know what climbing a zigzag climb has to do with balls, but
you have to ball till you felt like you have to just ball out on the zigzag climb, you know?
What do balls have to do with anything?
No, balling out. It's an expression.
Yeah, balling out of what? Where are the balls coming from?
Stop. It's called an idiom.
Carson is our robbed goddess of the night. We'll be awarding robbed goddess of the night instead of drive of the night. How about that?
The Mitsubishi madness or whatever. Mitsubishi
drivers. The drive of the night.
Drive of the night. Okay.
So
who's presenting our robbed goddess of the night? Is that like it would be like Venus Razors or something?
Presented by Kirsten McInnes. The honorary Kirsten McInnes robbed goddess of the night.
That's so sad. Now I'm
too
bummed.
Soon.
Yeah, too soon.
The Breakfast Club gets that point, and that is unfortunate for them because that was the one they really, or unfortunate for Dark Horse. Sorry, that was the one that Dark Horse really needed. It was the one that they could have had but did not have. Then it's Tammy versus Jesse, and I don't think this was ever truly in much contest. Tammy does keep up well with Jesse. She pulls ahead on the pole grasper briefly, but then Jesse manages to sneak right back by her. Tammy seems to be running out of gas as Jesse just continues to storm ahead. And then ultimately Tammy goes down at the salmon ladder and Jesse wins. They mention that no woman has ever completed the extended course in Team Ninja Warrior because I'm pretty sure this is the first time or maybe the second time they've ever had the opportunity to finish the extended course. And
yes, in all two episodes of this show, it's never been done.
And I'm sure Jesse could have completed it, but obviously smart move to save the gas in case you have to go to a relay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope they don't like next time. Oh, a woman has never completed the extended course. Oh, come on. Jesse could have done it.
You know they will. And then they'll be like the third woman to ever complete. And then the first mom.
Speaking of which, it's not nobody completed the extended course the first time. they didn't say when it was Carson versus Chris, nobody has completed the extended course before. No. But when it's Jesse, no woman has completed the extended course before.
Listen, they need to make sure that you know that Jesse is a woman and they don't have that many of those. A couple things. I think that this was more of just like a personal achievement for Tammy, because I don't think that anyone is like under the impression that they're going to beat Jesse LeBrec at this.
She held her own.
And she had never gone up the warp well in one of these competitions before. So I think she was more focused on just like going as far as she could without falling. And she gets to the salmon ladder. So I think that was part of it. So I was happy to see her improve, especially on the TikTok from earlier. We saw that improvement and then her improvement here. And then the other thing is that this is the first time I think that they've put up the women's weights. And I'm like, what do these stats, like who is deciding which of these stats go? Because sometimes there's experience, sometimes there's not, sometimes there's weight, sometimes there's not. Like, I don't understand.
I did notice the weight.
I just don't get it. Do they have to ask the women, like, are you okay with this?
Like, to be fair, it really did signal to me, like, just how strong these women, like, are. Like they are really muscled up.
Yeah. I don't know how tall Tammy is, but I know that Jesse is really tall. But they were, like, basically the exact same weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's so weird that, like, the stats are different depending on who's up.
Yeah. It's weird.
Like the ones that they show. But your experience tab was back for a couple of them.
Yeah, I was watching a little more quickly, so I wasn't paying as close attention to the to the things. So Jesse ends up winning that one, and then finally we get the giant versus Lance. And if Lance doesn't pull this out, then Dark Horse is the invisible horse now. And they show that,
meaning they're gone.
Yes, they show that John is a foot taller, or at least 11 inches taller than Lance Peekus. And man, that's a lot of height difference.
Yeah, it's probably a foot. I bet Lance is lying about his height.
he's including the cowboy hat.
Yeah, exactly. Or the horse.
Yeah. Well, I think a horse is more than 1 inch.
I've never seen a horse before.
Okay.
I've just been pretending to know what you're talking about.
Well, they are neck and neck as they get to the pole grasper. They end up both grabbing the same pole. And this has happened before, but I don't know if it's happened where they are both literally hanging off of the same pole at the same time. And that is the only pole that they're both hanging on to. John ends up being able to pull ahead there, which is unsurprising given his wingspan. And Akbar is saying, bump and run here, bump and run.
Yeah, this was very physical, and we talk all the time about how we like these obstacles where they overlap, where you can like be on the same part of the obstacle, and they had the floating tiles earlier in the episode too, which is like this. It just makes it so much more fun, and I know that you're screaming for them to punch each other and knock each other off, because that's what you like.
Just you know, lightly shove.
Okay. I think it's hard to lightly shove while you're competing for the same pole as the pole grasper.
Well, you know what?
I think it's kick or be kicked.
I think lightly shove translates to bump and run.
Okay.
There
is
you
that
go.
What Akbar was really telling them to do?
Yes. Okay. So Lance nearly falls back at the spin cycle landing. He's a bit behind John at this point. He nearly falls in there, but John is way ahead. Lance is still just kind of like trucking along, keeping his pace. And John ends up at the zigzag. He takes a breath. He steals himself for the climb. He starts climbing. He's climbing a little slow, but he's got a huge lead. So it's like, there's no way Lance is going to be able to catch up. But when Lance gets to that zigzag climb, he speeds up that thing. And oh boy, I had no idea who was going to win this.
Yeah, this was a good time to like not look at how much time is left in the episode.
Yeah.
Because this is one of those shows that can really ruin that for you. But yeah, this was super nerve-wracking.
Yeah, but it was crazy. I mean, Lance is speeding up. He's about to catch John. John, he gets there first, but he still has to hit the buzzer. Luckily, John is tall enough that he can just reach up and hit it when he's on his knees. So I think that could have made the difference.
Listen, you can't underestimate hitting the buzzer as the final obstacle.
Yeah,
apparently
it's a difficult one.
It's a difference maker. Yeah, this was a super good matchup. Like, even though Le Breakfast Club swept it, and I would have liked to see a relay here. I was rooting for them, and it was at least an exciting matchup for all of them.
Yes, very, very fun, very exciting. And this is the drive of the night.
Yes, the Mitsubishi Motors drive of the night.
Yes. You would have thought they would have come up with another M word instead of drive.
Well, like, what could that possibly be?
I don't know. Drive has no relevance to Ninja Warrior.
I told
courses.
You it's a football thing.
Well, look, I'm saying that they could have come up with something better.
The Mitsubishi Motors, like, monstrous run of the night.
Something. I'm sure our lovely listeners can come up with a better of the night word that starts with M for Mitsubishi Motors.
Please send us your alliteration.
Yes, send them at Armstrong Taren, at Lita Tweeted on Twitter. But like I said, I'm really enjoying this. This really brings me back to the fun of watching Ninja Warrior, aka Sasuke, on G4. It's short, it's quick, it's action-packed, it's fun. The packages are just enough to remind you about who these people are before they get going. And I love the whole thing. I'm really enjoying the show. I'm very, very glad about all the changes they made. I'm very happy with everything. I'm just excited.
Yeah. Also, I like that it's at night. It brings some of the magic of American Ninja Warrior and like makes me excited for the regular season. And also, I don't cry every episode, which is I cannot say for the regular season. So that's nice.
Yeah. And it's like the fact that it's just, 42 minutes long. And, it's just like they're doing things right here. And not to say that American Ninja Warrior proper does things wrong, but I really enjoy the style and the way that this show is put together. I'm looking forward to continuing to watch. It's not often that, again, and I think we talked about this last time, but it's not often that that an episode of American Ninja Warrior ends and I'm like, I wanted more.
Yeah. We also still have a lot of really, really tough teams coming up. And so far I've been happy that they haven't been pairing like the most formidable teams against each other, because like that sucks to have one of them have to go out early. So we're sort of delaying, I think, the best matchups until the playoffs or whatever they're calling it. So that's really exciting. But we still have a lot of pretty stacked teams coming up. So hopefully they are not against each other either.
Yes. Well, very excited to continue to cover the show as it goes on. Very, very fun stuff. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we wrap up?
We have USA versus the world on Sunday, which like, I don't understand. The show has like 4 months of off season. Why not do it then? We know it's been filmed for like almost a year.
Very excited about USA versus the world. How much press is out about that? Do we know the teams?
It's out. Yeah, we do. I mean, you and I obviously have known for a long time, but it's been officially released. Yeah.
Well, I'm just excited to be able to talk about the fact that that I got to meet Team Japan.
Yes, you did. And they're back. Thank God.
Yes,
after last year not having a Team Japan.
Also, they're back. But first, I got to meet them, which is cooler overall.
Yeah, you're right. That's what really counts here. Yeah, so we have four teams in USA versus the world this year, and I'm sure we'll break that down. I feel like USA versus the world is like always at a different time of year.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, so I don't know why they're doing it now in the middle of Team Ninja, in the middle of Ninja versus Ninja season, but whatever.
Well, it's on NBC and they probably don't care about USA.
Whatever is going on USA.
I will say I saw a commercial for Suits when I was watching Ninja versus Ninja. And I was like, that depresses me.
Why?
Because that show is so bad now.
Because Meghan Markle had to leave to be a princess?
I mean, it was bad before that happened.
I have honestly never, ever seen it. I only know about it from
Meghan Markle. It was like not a bad show at all. And then it just should not still be going. It's just like, what have they done to this thing? And the commercial is so dramatic. Like, oh, kiss me. Don't leave. It's like, man, what? Jeez.
Is it about lawyers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil anything.
You can spoil Suits on this American Ninja Warrior podcast.
Look, I'm not a spoiler of shows, even though they've gotten terrible.
We'll just put a spoiler alert bumper before we talk about this, before we go into the Suits portion of our podcast.
It doesn't have any relevance. It doesn't matter to you at all. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us on episode 2 of Ninja versus Ninja. I hope you guys are enjoying the show and the coverage. We'll be back next week and we'll be back with some USA versus the world coverage. So keep on the lookout. Make sure you're subscribed to the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up podcast. That's RHAP up on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasting needs met. Follow us on Twitter, as I mentioned before, at Armstrong Taren and at Lita Tweeted. You can also follow Lita on Twitter at Lita Grammed. You can find
on Instagram at Lita Grammed.
Yeah, those things. You can find our podcast on robisawebsite.com and leave a comment there if you want. And make sure you check out our Big Brother Canada coverage and The Taren Show. I talked to Hoodie Allen, the rapper. And more recently, I talked to Rennie Martin from Big Brother 10. Very, very interesting conversation. Very fun. So make sure you check that out on The Taren Show. And check out Lita. Do you have anything going on?
Sometimes I do live feed updates with you. I don't know if you remembered, but you can also check those out. I think I'm doing one. Yeah, I'm doing one this week. And you can also check out my recaps of RuPaul's Drag Race and of Survivor Ghost Island on myentertainmentworld.ca. Also, you should rate and review us on iTunes.
Yes, do it.
That's the most compelling pitch I've ever heard.
Do it with the same amount of enthusiasm as me reviewing Ninja vs. Ninja.
I thought you were going to say Suits. That's our next podcast. That's our after this. Look,
I was listening to the Taran Show on the reality TV or Hapups feed on iTunes, and then I saw that there was a Ninja podcast, and I was like, oh my God, they're still doing that podcast? It got so bad after the first season. Oh my God.
Hey, I'm sure that someone has thought that.
Well, we are here for the people that are listening and not for the people that aren't listening. So,
that's a great slogan.
Yeah.
We'll incorporate that into our logo.
Screw all those non-listeners, and they won't even know that I said this. Because guess what?
Safest,
they're not listening.
It's the safest possible group to hate on.
Yeah, and our listeners are very loyal, and by that I mean there's too few of them to actually get the word out that we said screw
all
other people.
All seven of you, we love you.
Well, help us get the word out. Tell the world about the American Ninja Warrior Wrap Up podcast. And thank you so much, regardless, for joining us. We will see you next time.